I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is a daily tip on about MGM Network on a Thursday. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up, we start with the action in the NBA last night. The big action, Wemby and Luka going at it in La La Land. In 20 minutes, the Cardinals make a decision at quarterback, while Stephen A. Smith makes a decision that puzzles us all. And finally, we bring you our NFL power rankings at 6:40 before we get you ready for Broncos, Raiders, and Sin City. I'm Jenk. She's Chelsea. It is once again a Thursday. Good morning, Chelsea.
Yeah, thank God football's back. I feel like I've been waiting all week for Thursday nights, because we've talked about and complained about the NBA. And here's the thing. Like, there have been some good games, but the problem is, like, last night's Lakers and Spurs game took 3.5 hours, I think. Yeah. And when these games don't finish till 1 a.m., like, our alarm goes off in the threes. Ooh. We can't be staying up till 1. So, come on, NBA. Can we get some, like, early tips? Like, put some, like, 4 o'clock games on Peacock.
No way. They're never going to do that. It'd be great. Instead, right, they'll just keep having these late-night games, and we'll just keep on waking up. That's the way it goes. It really sucks when it's a... like, such a great matchup. I get it, though. It's the Lakers. It's the Spurs. It's out west. But I miss a ton of these games because I just can't stay up that late, not during the week. And we're not alone. Like, you don't even have to wake up at 3:45 to say, all right, this is getting a little late, guys.
Right, especially when it's a long season. Like, maybe you can stay up till 1 a.m. on a school night during the week occasionally, but not every single night of the week. You know, because that's the thing. It's not just the Lakers. Like, you have, like, the Nuggets, who obviously are impressive. You have the Warriors. You have the Suns. Well, not the Suns as much. But you get what I'm saying, is there are a lot of good teams out west that if you have a normal job where you have to wake up at a normal hour, these are just not games you can stay up and catch the end.
Yeah. No, I hear you there. That's the NBA for you. Classic NBA. Well, I guess we should get to it. How did your bet go last night? I know you're not going to be happy here. It's tough betting on basketball.
Ah, tell me about it. All right, so I needed the Sixers to cover the 10 against the Cavs last night, and they lost by 11. Womp, womp. Didn't feel great about that one, but it ends a great stretch for Philadelphia, one of the best covering teams in the NBA. They were 5-1 against the number coming into this game. And that point cost me. So it's never fun when you lose by a mere point.
It is not. I get it. Man, the NBA lines were so tight last night. I can't tell you how many games I looked at and it was, covered by the hook or missed the total by a point, something like that. Already the NBA just giving us body blows. That's why I went to hockey last night. I had the Caps on the money line against the Blues. Caps won 6-1. And we got this.
Number 900, Alex Ovechkin, first player in National Hockey League history to reach that magic number.
How about that? Call courtesy of TNT. Ovi gets 900 on a no-look backhanded shot that goes into the net. As we predicted on this show, that's the way you get her done. I got to hold on to that, because it might be the last bet I win all week. But finally, Ovi gets 900. It was an awesome moment.
Did they actually play it? I wonder. You probably didn't go out last night because it was a school night. But this has to be a big moment for, like, the general area as well, especially with, like, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like especially in D.C. where there is so many, like, heavy topics because it's our nation's capital and, like, politics reign supreme.
Yeah.
Does it bring a lightness to the city when, like, the sports teams are good or there's a great sports moment?
Yes, D.C. can be really heavy in that way because anything that happens politically, I mean, it's centered here, right? And then D.C. is the target of that often, so people feel that a lot. So, yes, when you have something like this that you can celebrate and everybody can get behind, it's awesome. And plus, you know, Ovi is a legend. He is arguably the greatest D.C. athlete of all time. I know he's from Russia, but as far as playing for D.C. teams, I mean, he's right up there on the Mount Rushmore. So to see him get this at 40 years old, and that shot was just unbelievable. Yeah, it was a special moment, so at least for a little while, we got that.
Ah, well, and it's always good to see like greatness with your own eyes, because we talk about this a lot, where if you are privileged to watch one of the best players at their respective sport, you should be watching. So it feels like there's a little of that baked in as well.
Yeah, there is. Absolutely. And people have been waiting for a while. First, it was Gretzky's record, and now it was, can he get to 900? I really can't believe it when I think about it. I'm like, Alexander Ovechkin has scored 900 goals in the National Hockey League and beaten Gretzky's record along the way. It really is special. So, yes, huge night for D.C. As for the Donkster, oh, speaking about tight lines, look at this. He had the Jazz plus 10.5 taking on the Pistons. Pistons win by 11. Lost by the hook. So, for the week, Chelsea, you're 1-2. I'm 2-0. Denton is 3-1. And the Donkster, 1-1 here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is great to have you with us on a Thursday. How about some NBA and a game you were talking about? The Lakers edging the Spurs, 118-116. Lakers laying 1.5. Lakers minus 110 on the money line. Total set at 227 and a hook. That total kept going up. Any over hits? Luka Doncic, of course, leading the way for L.A.
Doncic looking. Castle right with him. Doncic a three. Pucks it in! Luka Doncic from downtown. And the Lakers' first lead of the fourth quarter.
Call from ESPN. Doncic, 35 points, 9 boards, 13 assists as the Lakers finish the game on a brilliant 21-10 run. DeAndre Ayton, 22 points, 10 boards. Wimby, 19 points, 8 rebounds, but he fouls out with a minute and 39 seconds to play in this game. This was supposed to be tight, and boy, was it ever.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people wanted to see Luka v. Wimby in the final minutes, but of course he fouled out, and it was a back-to-back, sloppy kind of off night for Victor Wembanyama. So I think the questions are starting to rise that have teams kind of figured out how to play him defensively. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but the turnovers were a problem. He's had 11 turnovers in the last two games, so he's going to have to figure something out. I know he's still young, but the Lakers deserve a lot of credit in this one. This was not, you know, the prettiest game. We had 84 free throws in this game. It took over 3 hours. And so there was a lot of stoppage. Both offenses really didn't find their rhythm until late in the game. And Luka Doncic, I know he filled out the stat sheet, but it wasn't really his most efficient night. And I think the sign of a good player and a good team is being able to still win games, even when you're not at your absolute best. And that's what the Lakers did in this one. DeAndre Ayton, another big game. For somebody who's only making $8 million, this was a great ad. By the Lakers. He's had a fantastic start to the season. And speaking of, the Lakers sitting at 7-2, second in the Western Conference, which is kind of a shock because, you know, Luka Doncic has missed several games. LeBron hasn't even played. Austin Reeves didn't play in this game. So the Lakers are cruising to start the season.
I would have never thought this without LeBron in the lineup. And now we're seeing reports of LeBron being unhappy behind the scenes. Why would he be unhappy? I don't know. He's got his son right there. They're waiting for him to come back. I don't know what it is. If you're LeBron, I would just be sitting back and enjoying life right now, waiting to come back, making sure I'm careful in my recovery because he has that sciatica issue, and then saying, I'm going to watch my son. I'm going to get 100% healthy. Luka is leading the way. The team looks good right now. Then I'll integrate myself. I'll have some rest along the way, and we'll keep winning.
Well, here's the thing. Like, sometimes when you hear reports about star players, especially in, you know, top markets, sometimes I wonder, like, how much truth there is to it. I'm not calling out the reporter. I'm just saying, like, after the game, LeBron James was, like, hyping up DeAndre Ayton in his post-game interview, and he seemed happy. And why would he not be? His team is 7-2. This is the best possible scenario where you get to wait in the wings and you don't have to use all of your gas in the gas tank in the first month of the season. Because if the goal is truly another championship for the Lakers, LeBron probably wants to, you know, sit out some games and do some load management. I know that's not the case. He does have sciatica. But still, you get what I'm saying. Why would he not be happy this team is one of the best teams in Western Conference right now?
Did you get that alert that I got on my phone? Bronny fans, watch out.
Oh, no.
Bronny gets posterized by Victor Wembanyama. And it was just, you know, a classic posterization. And it was Bronny stepping in at the last second. And Wimby, of course, is 10'5" and just like dunks over him, and it just wasn't a big deal. Bronny fans, watch out. Bronny had 2 points, one rebound. I was like, come on, ESPN. What are we doing here? It was a dunk. It was a good dunk. But every dunk looks amazing when you're Victor Wembanyama. And he does have some amazing dunks. But when you're that large and that spider-esque, like just dunking kind of next to someone looks like it's amazing when it's just a regular dunk for him.
Yeah, I feel like that was a swing and a miss by the algorithm on your phone. Because I think it made the mistake. It's like, this guy talks about Bronny all the time. And I don't think it picked up the tone in your voice when you're talking about Bronny. So, like, this is the biggest Bronny fan. We have to send him this highlight. Or lowlight, I should say. But you're right. Like, Wimby dunks on a lot of people. So, like, this is not something to hang your head about. Like, of course, there are far more things we could talk about when it comes to Bronny. But, yes, it's wild watching him play. And the fact that anybody stops him defensively, like, when you're talking about Wimby, is absolutely crazy. Like, he takes, like, one dribble from the three-point line and is to the basket. It's like, this feels unfair.
Right. If I were standing at half court and Wimby dunked on the other end, you'd be like, Jenkins, posterized! And it would probably look that way, you know? I was like, yeah, he's lanky enough. He's incredible. But even I was like, okay, ESPN, what are we doing here? You are misreading everything. Elsewhere out west, how about the Kings downing the Warriors 121-116? The Kings laying 2.5, Kings minus 145, total set at 223.5, the overhits. Everyone was out for this game. How was this game played? Steph Curry out with an illness. Jimmy Butler had a back. Domantas Sabonis, rib injury. Zach LaVine, aching back. Draymond Green, rib contusion. Everyone was banged up. So it's Russell Westbrook, an NBA record 204th career triple-double, 23 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. DeMar DeRozan, 25 points as the Kings go on an 11-0 run in the fourth quarter, including three triples from Dennis Schroeder. And there we go. That's your game with all of the stars out. I mean, Russ is a star, but certainly been around for a while.
Right, like he shouldn't be the main character. Like it shouldn't be a TV show where he has the starring role. And speaking of, I know this is off topic, but Draymond Green was in a show that I just watched the other day, St. Denis Medical on NBC. There's probably something with NBC and Peacock and, you know, the partnership there, but he played a guy who got struck by lightning. I was like, what a weird role.
Was he good?
Yeah.
He was?
Not really. I mean, he didn't really have to do that much. He said, I got struck by lightning, and that was it.
He wasn't electric?
I like it.
No. But it was weird, because you're just sitting there like, is that Draymond Green? And like you're like, yeah, that is. And you look up the credits, you're like, what's he doing there? So I don't know if he's trying to foray into acting, but like he's not winning any, you know, Emmys or Oscars anytime soon for that small role.
I like how D-Day popped in, made his joke, and then immediately was like, all right, back to my phone, whatever, you guys keep talking. Like, he's like, I got something to say. All right,
enough.
I'm done, right? Oh. I'm done for the day. What was that show? I know I've said this before. I have to look up this clip. And I am not one who is generally into promos or shows, and I, you know, get riled up one way or the other. What was that show on NBC? Is it still on Providence or something? No, I'm getting it wrong. And of course, it was a medical show. There are a lot of medical shows out right now on all sorts of network TV. Some are funny, some are dramatic, whatever. And what was it? They're in a hospital, and there was a homeless person in the hospital and needed some treatment. And it was about a doctor that does things differently. And I've said this before.
I think it's ringing a bell.
Yeah. And what was it? It was the guy who was in The Blacklist. He was the boyfriend of the main character there. I can look all this up. And so the homeless person sits down and says something like, can you help me? How about this? And the doctor pulls out keys to a new home and was like, how about this? Like, wait, did you just give that guy a brand new home out of nowhere? A different kind of doctor. I'm like, let's go to that hospital. I could use a new ride. Can this guy come into my room? Guess what?
Right, you get a new Kia. Most of the time, they're like, your insurance doesn't cover that. That's going to be $327 for that Neosporin route.
Right.
Like, what?
That Band-Aid costs $3,500. It has medicine on it. Okay, doc. Thank you. Coming up next on the show, Stephen A. Smith loves the NBA and more. It's next on the Daily Tip.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger coming up on the show. Your weekly Stephen A. Smith update, which has to do with him being caught playing solitaire. Do you play a lot of games on your phone? I was sort of into my poker game on my phone for way too long, and I just quit cold turkey. I was like, this is enough. We're playing way too much. And you can't play blackjack because people are so stupid now. They don't know how to play the game. They just get in there and they're like, oh, I've got an 18. Dealer's showing a king. Time to hit. I'm like, what are you doing? Like the most nonsensical things. You've got an ace showing. I got a couple fives. Let's split these fives. Like, it's unplayable because you know how it is. If you play blackjack, one person can make a wrong move and the odds are stacked against you anyway. They make a wrong move. It just kills everything. So I was playing too much. I got away. Do you ever do this?
No, I have a child. I feel like I can't even look at my phone for 3 seconds without, Mom, can you make me a snack? Mom, can you play dolls with me? So it's one of those things where I feel like this is a young person's game or like people who don't have children. Because I remember like playing solitaire the way that it was supposed to be played on your grandma's computer.
That's right.
On whatever Microsoft operating system it was where it came with. Solitaire, and it came with Minesweeper.
Yeah.
I didn't even know how to play Minesweeper. I just clicked the box. It's like, let's see what this does. But at least Solitaire, I knew the rules, and I was playing the hell out of that because it was better than, like, I don't know, cleaning the kitchen with my grandma.
Remember when you would win Solitaire and the cards would, like, bounce around the screen once you won? Like, gung, gung. You're like, ooh, that's cool. Look at those graphics. Wow. How do they do that? Was that Windows 95 or Windows 98 or something like that? Yeah. And it was like the coolest thing in the world because you'd never seen anything like it. Like, that's the thing I try to explain or explain to the youngs, you know? It's like, I know it seems lame, but at the time, I don't think that's a phrase at all. The olds is. But I said, you don't understand. At the time, nothing like that existed. So while now it seems archaic and staid and you're like, well, that's boring. It's like, yes, I get it. But at the time, it's like, whoa. I've never seen anything like this before. Like, I remember very vividly, America Online was a big thing, right? Obviously, it was huge, and now it's filtered out. But there was something similar to that called CompuServe. Do you remember CompuServe at all?
It rings a bell.
Yeah.
Was it another provider?
Yeah, it was the same thing, right?
Okay.
You log on with a modem, and then you've got access to the internet and email and chat, all that stuff. But I remember when this came out in the 80s, like the late 80s, when the internet was, I mean, a baby. And I remember getting something in the mail and being like, what is this? Like, it seems so cool. Like, scores and chat and information. But what is this? Like, nobody had computers with the internet. So I couldn't figure out what it was. And now looking back, of course, it makes perfect sense. This is rudimentary software. But at the time, it didn't really exist except in these really high circles. So I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So yeah, when I saw the solitaire cards bouncing off the screen, I was like, wow.
Well, I mean, you didn't even have to have internet for that. Cause like my grandma's computer didn't even have the internet. And that's back in the day where you like just didn't have that many options for entertainment. Because now you can go to the App Store and there's literally millions upon millions of games you can play on your phone. Mm-hmm. So that's where I come to a crossroads with like solitaire. Because like I used to like it just out of, you know, there were two options. And that was the only one I knew how to play. So now that there are more options, do you still want to play solitaire? I feel like this is like the ultimate time waste, right? Like, this is what I imagine people at, like, corporate jobs do when they're supposed to be filing out expense reports. But lucky for us, we're not in a super corporate job, or at least I hope you're not playing solitaire while we're doing our job, which is why it makes it so funny that Stephen A. was playing solitaire, a game for children, on their grandma's computer during, what was it, the NBA Finals?
Yes. Game 4 of the NBA Finals last year. He was caught playing solitaire. But then it gets really weird. So because of this, Stephen A. has signed a deal, reportedly, with Papaya Games to help promote the Solitaire World Championship coming up in Miami. But what's weird about this is that I saw this about 3 days ago on my feed on X, where this ad was everywhere. And I'm like, why does this ad keep popping up? Well, not only that is this ad everywhere because of this deal, then yesterday we saw under this ad different ESPN personalities posting about this very same topic, posting about Solitaire and Stephen A. Smith. Dan Orlovsky, you talk a big game, but Solitaire doesn't lie. Game on. Mina Kimes, that's an easy win over here. Laura Rutledge, you know I love you like family, but you don't want to mess with me when it comes to Solitaire. You're going down. All of these responses began with hashtag ad, and I think there's a lot of questions as to whether these were legitimate responses or part of a coordinated effort, because this company, Papaya, is being sued by another company for using AI inappropriately and trying to rig the games against actual human opponents. So when you see all of these ESPN personalities responding, did they really respond, or are these AI generated from a company that Stephen A. Smith now has a deal with that is already in court? It's not great.
Yeah, to quote another ESPN employee, these responses sound like they're from people who didn't play the game. Like, isn't that the first thing you notice? Like, yeah. Solitaire is a solitary game that you play by yourself. There's no head-to-head matchups. You're not going down in solitaire. It's you versus the computer. So right. I don't know if these are ESPN personalities that literally don't know what solitaire is. Mm-hmm. It's literally in the name. Like, solitaire. Think of solitary. One person. So I don't know if AI wrote these, but whatever AI chatbot did, if they did, it needs to be updated because it's missing some information.
And here's the really shady part of this whole thing. I was doing a bit of a deep dive yesterday, and you're absolutely right, by the way. Like, if I said, hey, I'll take you on in solitaire, you'd be like, what are you talking
about? Wait your turn.
Yeah, just log on and let me know if you win or not. I'll do the same. Talk to you later. Doesn't make any sense. So this company, Papaya, they were accused of using AI bots to guarantee specific outcomes against human opponents playing solitaire, essentially stacking the deck, if you will, against humans. They don't even deny that. They admit, okay, there were bots. What they're denying is that they knew of the existence of the bots in the first place, which is, okay, yeah, there were bots in there, but these weren't us. This is just AI, which seems like a very specious argument. But with Stephen A. Smith, what bothers me here is that it's pretty clear to me at this point that he's just going to take the money grab and just roll with it. Like, he doesn't really stand for anything except securing the bag. Like, when the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing came out and he got suspended for a week because of his criticism of what happened in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination, right? And eventually, Jimmy Kimmel got back on the air. What did Stephen A. Smith do? He got on the air and said, well, I didn't think that what Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, when he was joking about it, I didn't think it was funny. That is irrelevant. This was about free speech. You are a journalist. If you give a damn about free speech at all, which is your chosen profession, whether or not you liked what he said is irrelevant. The fact that he is being censored is what is relevant here. But what happened? Jimmy Kimmel didn't want to upset the corporate powers who were under pressure from the public to reinstate Jimmy Kimmel at his job. Right? So here, that's kind of what we're saying. Okay, this is a company in Papaya that is being sued in court for rigging a game against human opponents, and you don't care why. Because you're securing the bag. You're not going to stand up for free speech. You're not going to deny a partnership with a company who has already admitted, yeah, these games were kind of rigged. We just didn't know the bots were there. It doesn't stand for anything except for making money. And when you're in a journalistic space, it's really bothersome to me.
Right, especially when you need your credibility for your job to survive. Right. Because if you don't have your credibility as a journalist, you don't have anything. So that's why it's important for journalists, which I know it's kind of a soft journalist now for Stephen A. He's more of an opinionist. But we see this all the time with celebrities, where I think the main one right now is Sydney Sweeney, where people kind of question some of the ads that she takes on and some of the products that she is hawking. Because you should pick and choose very carefully, because this is how the public kind of, you know, associates you when you're selling bathwater. Right. Like, I feel like that kind of takes a hit on your credibility, does it not? Because she is a great actress. She's good. It's just, it feels like there's all this other nonsense that kind of goes into it. And the same goes for Stephen A. Like, do you really need to be promoting, you know, solitaire on your phone that has all of these, you know, lawsuits against it because of AI? I'm sure there are other options. Go talk to Shaq. If you want to make the bag and promote companies that feel like, I know Papa John's has had a pass, but at least, you know, Shaq was trying to spin it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Is it like, pick and choose your endorsements wisely? Because it's the same thing as, remember, people on Twitter used to say that? They used to say, retweets, not endorsements, because endorsement was such a big deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So at the end of the day, sadly, this story, while interesting, I think, to a certain extent, doesn't really surprise me, considering where we are and what we've seen in the past from Stephen A. Speaking of decisions, well, the Cardinals have made one, and it's Jacoby Brissett as a starter, because Kyler Murray is going on IR with that foot injury we talked about yesterday. Doctors have said, if you really want this foot injury to heal, then he needs to continue to stay out. He needs a 4 to 8 week recovery time. Instead, it is Brissett going for the Cards, and he's been really good in place of Kyler. So maybe we were talking about the soft benching for Kyler. Maybe this isn't a soft benching after all.
Yeah, maybe not. Or maybe they just told their team doctor, they're like, hey, can you read the script and tell everybody that this is the diagnosis? So, like, I don't really know what's going on, but I will say in the meantime, Jacoby Brissett has given them a chance to win. And I'll say this, even in the games when Kyler Murray has been playing, like, the Cardinals have played in a lot of close games. Like, sure. So from a betting standpoint, I think the general public will see, okay, face of the franchise has been, is out for the foreseeable future. This is a Cardinals team that not a whole lot of people care about anyway, even when they are good. So maybe there's some betting value, and some of these lines are a little inflated towards the other team. Even though this week's matchup is against the Seahawks, another team that the public doesn't really love.
Yeah, I love the Seahawks. I mean, now I say that after that loss against these guys a few days ago from my Commanders. So I don't love that from the Seahawks. But there's not like a natural rivalry between Washington and Seattle. So it's just a loss, because this is kind of a lost season anyway. But I think this is going to be good for the Cardinals long term. And I think this line is way too big when you look at this game. Seahawks laying 6.5. It's still a divisional game. Also, CJ Stroud out against the Jags this weekend. So this game is in Houston. Jacksonville is laying a point. They're -115 on the money line. Houston is -105. Total set at 37.5. I like the under in this game. Yesterday, it was 38. A couple days before that, it was around 41, I think. My God, it keeps diving down. And now, our old friend Davis Mills is going to be a quarterback.
Strengthen that neck, baby. Make it longer. Whoa. It's giraffe neck season for Davis Mills. But yeah, I feel like this was an under game to start with, even if it was C.J. Stroud, just because the protection has not been there for C.J. Stroud. So no matter who's playing at quarterback, the offensive line is not going to give whatever that quarterback is much time to throw. So sometimes you see these numbers that are really low. It was a low number last week for the Texans. I think it was, you know, below 40 between the Broncos and the Texans, and that game ended like 16-13. So, I don't know. Let me ask you this, because you talk to a lot of players. Do you think there's rust that builds up for some of these players? Because Davis Mills, once upon a time, started several games for the Texans, but it's been quite some time. Yes. Looks like he played a bit Let's see. He's playing in two games this season. Not much, but still. Do you think there's a rust factor when it comes to these old quarterbacks who have actually not played in that many games?
I think there has to be. You can only stay so sharp, particularly if you're a guy like Davis Mills, which is why I think this total keeps dropping, right? The Texans have the number one defense in the National Football League. The Jags offense has kind of been operating in fits and starts all season. Then you have Davis Mills going for an offense that doesn't do much anyway. Like, even with C.J. Stroud, this is a Texans offense that just is not very good. They had an opportunity, I think, four chances inside like the Broncos five over the weekend, could not convert. So they were bad with C.J. Stroud. Now they have the backup in. Just doesn't bode well for this game if you're looking for a lot of points. But that number is low. Coming up next on the show, we got new power rankings in the NFL and which new team is at the top. That is next on The Daily Tip.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. It is The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Michael Jenkins, she's Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, our power rankings have shifted in a big way. We'll tell you where we stand before Week 10 gets underway. What was I going to tell you? I forgot. Something I thought about yesterday. Yeah, slipped my mind. I'll figure it out. Oh! Do I want to talk about that tomorrow? Yeah, I'll talk about it tomorrow. It's a better topic for tomorrow. I don't know. Here's something that I thought you would find interesting. Tiger Woods' son. You're a golf gal. You love golf. Jake's a golf guy. Mm-hmm. Is he still watching a lot of golf? Is he up right now?
Oh, yeah.
Watching the 1968 U.S. Women's Open?
He's definitely not up now. I can hear him snoring. But he watches the Golf Channel all the time still. We are watching amateur matches. We are watching the ladies play golf. So, of course, we are clued in on Charlie Woods.
Oh, well, okay. I was going to say, Charlie has been named a first-team All-American by the American Junior Golf Association. One of 12 members of the team. Woods is a junior at the Benjamin School in South Florida. When I see Carlos Boozer's son at Duke, and I see Charlie Woods as a high school junior being named an All-American, that's something that makes me feel incredibly old, because I'm like, I remember watching your daddy play in Durham, and I remember watching your father win majors, and now here you are about to be on tour again. Man, it's unbelievable. But it's going to be so much fun to watch these guys develop and evolve over time, too.
I think the most fascinating part of Charlie Woods is how we will see Tiger Woods act as a father. Because I think we've talked about this on the show before, that I always think of that Saturday Night Live sketch where it's Tiger Woods when he's five and they're showing those like home videos of, his dad like taping a club to his hands. And he's talked about how hard his dad was on him, and it kind of molded him into the golfer that he was, that was mentally one of the most resilient athletes that we've ever seen. Somebody who would run miles and miles in combat boots, and some of that kind of contributed to the injuries he had later, it feels like, in golf. But I wonder if he is going to be hard on Charlie Woods, or if he's going to take a step back and be like, hey, like, I also want this kid, you know, to not hate me and not, like, you know, crumble and, you know, have all these things that happen when you have a really tough father. So I think that's the most interesting part, is to see what type of a father figure role Tiger Woods will play to Charlie Woods.
Yeah, you never know. From what you see in public, he looks like he's very docile and very supportive of Charlie. But you never really know. Like, there's this old skit on SNL, which is really funny. It's very old. But it's from the Reagan days when Ronald Reagan was president. And Reagan was considered very genteel and very lovable. Like, when he won the election in, what, 84, every single state except for one was counted for Ronald Reagan. Imagine that, like an entire country around one president. It was pretty remarkable. But he was seen as kind of this grandfather figure and very kind. And so there's this skit on SNL that basically points out, hey, you never really know who someone is behind the scenes, right? And so someone walks into the Oval Office and he goes, well, you sure did do a great job
selling Girl Scout cookies. Congratulations. Okay, take a picture. And then the girl walks out, and as soon as the door closes, he goes, back to work! You know, just like loses his mind and yelling at people. So you never know how people are behind the scenes. I don't think Tiger is like that, but I mean, you never know. His dad was definitely hard on him.
Well, and I think Tiger Woods himself has softened in like the past few years to where it used to be when he was playing, and I understand he's not playing right now, but back in his heyday when he was playing, people wouldn't talk to him on the course. Mm-mm. And he was like this intimidating figure that nobody even wanted to look at. And then like later on in his career, you'd see him like cutting up with some of the younger guys. He would be, you know, making jokes. And he just felt more relatable almost, which is crazy to say about somebody like Tiger Woods, but it's similar to what we saw with like Nick Saban. Like, remember like the last year of his coaching career where he was like saying nice things? You're like,
yeah,
what's going on? Why is he saying nice things to the media? So sometimes people soften as they get older. So I don't know. Maybe Tiger Woods is a little bit softer now than, like, say, he used to be, like, 10, 15 years ago.
I think that's absolutely the case. One guy who's never soft, my guy He-Man. Double D!
Jinx and Chelsea tell you who has the power.
It's a power struggle.
After the weekend in the NFL.
Best team ever!
All right. Power rankings time, Chelsea. Let's start with you. You're dancing over there. I feel like you're ready to go.
Ah, all right. So let's start from the top. So we have quite a shakeup in my rankings. But here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and like put my feet in the sand and be like, I'm not changing. No, these are going to be changed week to week based on who wins the big games. And speaking of, the Buffalo Bills won the big one over the Kansas City Chiefs last week. So I'm going to go Bills at the number one spot simply because we knew that Josh Allen and that offense is amazing and usually unstoppable, but I have questions about the defense, and I think that the defense showed us a lot in that game against Kansas City. So if they can keep progressing towards the end of the season, this is a Bills team that looks like the best in football. And speaking of the Chiefs, got them at number two. The defense is still very good, but it's very hard to stop Josh Allen and company, and especially all those tight ends that they employ. So I still think the Chiefs are one of those teams that are probably going to be one of the teams that probably compete in the AFC Championship. They have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and that offense. Number three, going to go with the Patriots here. Their offense still looks really good. Drake May has still not shown, you know, signs of slowing down as a young quarterback. I really believe in Mike Vrabel. It scares me a little bit that they didn't do too much at the trade deadline, but I still think the Patriots are a very, very good team. Number four, we're going to go with the Lions. It's hard to, you know, look at the Lions and be like, oh, well, they should be higher in the rankings when they keep, you know, blowing me off when it comes to some of these survivor plays. You lose to the Vikings? Come on, man. Can't be doing that. So my rankings are based week to week. If you have a tough loss, I got to scoot you down in the rankings. So the Lions are further down. And speaking of the Colts with a loss as well, but still statistically one of the most dominant teams in the NFL. I know it's very easy to say, well, this is who Daniel Jones is, but it was one game. And this is still a team that does not need Daniel Jones to stand on his head for them to have a great game. They still have Jonathan Taylor. They still have a great defense. And speaking of the trade deadline, they just picked up Sauce Gardner, who, you know, career allowing just 50% completion rate to opposing quarterbacks on the guys that he is covering. So I think the Colts are still in the top five for me. Honorable mention goes to the Eagles, but the Lions and the Eagles play this week. So we will have, you know, some movement based on the outcome of that game.
All right. What am I going to do here? I have a team at number one that wasn't even in my rankings last week, but I'm with you. I'm going to start at the bottom, though. Here we go. Number five, the Eagles. The Eagles are just that team. They just keep hanging around, third favorite to win the Super Bowl, sitting there at, if my vision is correct, plus 850 right behind the Bills and the Chiefs. So I'm not quite sure the Eagles really like each other. I don't know if they're having a good time, but I do know that they have the talent to win it all. Obviously, the defending world champions, and on any given Sunday, they can beat and compete with anyone. Also, the Eagles have the feel of that team that might just decide, okay, it's the playoffs. Maybe we're not all best friends. Let's go win another title. At four, first appearance this year in the top five, Patriots. How about that? It took me a while to buy in on this team just because when you're coming off, what, a four-win season, then you put it together again. Are you legitimate or not? We have finally seen enough from New England to know this is a legitimate team. They have looked good all season. They're well coached. We know that. Drake May has been fantastic in his second season. He looks like he is going to be one of the next superstars in the NFL. He's already ascending on that trek. So they're at four. At three, got the Lions. I'm not worried about the Lions losing to the Vikings last week. It wasn't a great loss, but ultimately we see all the tools that they have on offense. And that division, like the NFC North, is so fascinating because all those teams are just going to beat up on each other all season long. Division games are tough like that, so I'm not punishing Detroit too much because of that loss. Two, here we go again. It's the Chiefs. Fine. They lost to the Bills. This is what they do. They lose during the regular season to Buffalo, and then they'll play again in the postseason. And who knows, maybe this is the year that Buffalo finally rises up. We've only been saying that for 3 or 4 years. And then I'm with you. Number one, let's go Buffalo. I didn't even have them in the top five last week, so I understand this seems a little overreactionary. But at the end of the day, Buffalo is still Buffalo, and you tend to forget that after they have a really bad performance like they had against Carolina. When they want to show up, they can show up, and they keep winning at a really high rate and looking great. That defense does look better, even though, yes, they're still banged up. So Buffalo goes number one.
Well, go, and if you believe
Bills,
the odds makers,
for we are here to cheer for you. Go Bills, we are your fans, so true.
So true.
With victory in sight, we'll yell with all our might. So go Bills, fight, Bills, go.
Go. Can't believe that hasn't come back.
All right. Okay, so if you believe the odds makers, the Chiefs and Bills have the two shortest odds to win the Super Bowl as well. So it's not just us being, well, these are good teams. And plus, I feel like when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, you don't really have to explain yourself too much because the postseason experience is there. And I did want to correct myself because I said the Eagles play the Lions next. They play the Packers next and then the Lions. But still, back-to-back tough matchups for the NFC North and the Eagles. So we'll see what the Eagles are made of over these next 2 weeks.
We're going to find out. What is your take on Philly? I keep saying it over and over. Like, I just don't know how much they are enjoying the process right now. They're winning. They have the pedigree. But are they going to put it together and make a run and sort of put their differences aside? Maybe that's being melodramatic. I think it's the A.J. Brown thing.
I think that they still deserve that, like, reserved credit that we give to like the Chiefs and the Bills, right? Because like it's the same deal with like the Chiefs earlier in the season. They didn't look that great, but they're still the Chiefs, and the Eagles just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they certainly did. So they're always going to be right there. Coming up next, Week 10 is here. And if ESPN and YouTube get their acts together, maybe we can watch some of it. That'd be nice as well. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the Bet MGM Network.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.